We're going to be looking at Hebrews 13, but I want to read the last two verses of chapter 12. And beginning in verse 28, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And I might say that he is not giving an option there as to one of the ways in which men might serve the Lord acceptably, because there is no other way to serve the Lord acceptably except in reverence and godly fear. So it's not, that's one of many ways to do it, but it is the only way. It is that which is acceptable. "For our God is a consuming fire," that is, nothing but that way which is His is going to stand. He is that one who opens and no man can shut. He's that one that shuts that no man can open. He is that all-consuming fire. He is that one who before whom nothing can stand. And that is what it is to have a godly fear, is to understand who God is. You know, it's not a wonder to me, really, when I think about it, in the day in which we live, why there is so little regard to the things of God is because there is no fear of God before people's eyes. The average person, they believe God is like a big teddy bear that lives up in the sky, and he's just hoping somebody will do something for him, and he's just wanting to do good, and he's just trying with all his might to keep the devil from doing stuff. And he's being thwarted at every hand, and we just need to feel sorry for him and just do right. I mean, nobody cares about him, so let's all care. Well, I'm telling you, that's not the picture of who God is. Our God's a consuming fire. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything on this earth. He doesn't need anything man has. But man stands in desperate need of him. And that's what this means here when he says our God's a consuming fire. It's not that he is in standing in need of anything. A fire, you know, when a fire gets burning, you can't put it out. I mean, if a fire is burning hot enough, it can't be put out. How many fire trucks you think it would take to put out the fire from an atomic bomb? Huh? I mean, if you had every fire truck on the face of the earth and they was putting out all the water they couldn't put it out, could they? Well, our God, he's much more powerful than any atomic bomb. And he is a consuming fire, and there's nothing that can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" He is a God of very gods. Now, knowing that, dear brethren, that is how we must consider the God with whom we have to do. He's not waiting on us. We're waiting on Him. There's a big difference. Now, you know, most times I was listening to a fellow this morning. He was zealous, and I'm sure he was just as sincere as he could be. But he was trying to stir folks up just to do something for God. Well, dear brethren, that's not the issue. The issue is not for us to do something for Him, but the issue is, will He in His mercy do something for us? Because that's the thing that we stand in need of. He's certainly not in any need today. He is a consuming fire. And then He begins in verse 13. Now think about this. He just says, "For our God's a consuming fire." And then in verse 13, what's He say? "Let brotherly love continue." Now is that not an extension of what He said, that we may serve God acceptably and in godly fear? Well, how are we going to serve God acceptably and in godly fear except brotherly love continue? Because how can you love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? You know, we can talk all day about the theories of serving God. That's great. You know, we can theorize all about it, but when the reality of the matter is that it comes down to the work of God in men is teaching us to love one another. Is that not what the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to teach us? He said, do good to them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that would hinder you. And that's the point. That's the place where God would have us to be. Now, he specifically addresses this to brethren in the Lord. Now, there's always a general sense in which we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. That should be the hallmark of our existence in this world, is that we are a people who are known for kindness unto our fellow man. I mean, that we have no excuse or place ever to be anything other than kind, compassionate, tender-hearted, forgiving to those other men in this world, whether they are our brethren in the Lord or not. But what he's saying here is much more important than even that. He's saying let brotherly love continue, because brotherly love is that wherein we share a common bond. Now, it's just like the love we have for our family. You know, it's when we speak about the community is one thing, but when we speak about our family, that's something else, is it not? Because the love we have for our mother and our father and our brother and our children, it exceeds that which we have for the community in general. Well, by the same token, brotherly love should exceed all that love. Is that not what the Lord taught us by his very example? Remember when the people came in and said, your mother and your brothers are outside here. He said, my mother, he says, those who are my family are those who serve the Lord. They're those who love the way of God. They're those who believe the things of God. He said, that's my family. He said, those that do the will of my Father, let brotherly love continue. Now, he didn't say let it begin, did he? But he said let it continue. Because why? Because he's the beginning of it. And he's also the continuation of it, but the beginning of it, or just saying that we love one another, is not really loving one another. But you see, for love to continue, it has to be demonstrated. I mean, I can tell you that I love you, but if I don't show it to you, how do you know it? It's like, again, I believe John says, you know, if I say, or maybe it was James, he said, if I say to someone, be ye warmed and filled, but I don't give anything into their hands to warm and fill them, how can I say that I love them? You know, just saying it's one thing, but demonstrating it's quite something else. Let brotherly love continue. Let it be that which is the hallmark of us. As what? The sons of God. Those who are the followers of Christ. I mean, can the followers of Christ be described as being those who don't care about their brethren? I mean, is that the hallmark of God's people? Well, we know that they're the followers of Christ because they're fighting and carrying on with one another, and they don't care a thing about one another. They're speaking about one another behind their backs. And, you know, one of them gets in trouble and they just don't care anything about them. Now, what kind of a would that be? What would that be? I mean, you know, no, nobody. We know what the followers of Christ are, how they are described in the Scriptures. If you ever wonder what your conduct towards your brethren needs to be, all you have to do is look at the conduct of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you wonder how you ought to love your brethren, there's the example right there. You don't need to look any further than that, because that is the demonstration of brotherly love. Because the Lord Jesus Christ loved not himself even unto death. And he bore the burdens of his brethren. And so are we counseled to bear one another's burdens. That's what he said, did he not? Bear ye one, that's what Paul said. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, people want to take and paint the Ten Commandments on a sign and stick it up in their yard, and they want to say, here it is. Here's what we need to do. Well, dear brethren, If you want to fulfill the law of Christ, love your brethren. I mean, the Scripture says that. That's fulfilling the law of Christ. You know, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments and how much we believe the Ten Commandments, and we want to chisel them in stone and set them up at the courthouse. That's all. I'm not opposed to that if somebody wants to do it. But what have you done when you've done that? Not a thing in the world. Nothing. Anybody can do that. Somebody that doesn't even believe in God can do that. But let brotherly love continue is the demonstration of that which Christ has instructed us. You see, all of us know more about what we, how we are to love our brethren than we ever put into practice, do we not? But he said, let it continue. There's not to be a cessation of it. There's not, economic times don't get too hard to love your brother. You know, political differences, no excuse not to love your brother. There's nothing that exceeds the importance of that one thing. Let brotherly love continue. Now, then he goes on and he gets specific about this. He said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, this is an interesting passage of Scripture here. And it's often given a kind of a mystical note as we read, because when you read the term angels, it is often there are often creatures mentioned in the Scriptures, the angels who are heavenly creatures that can take on the form of men, as they appeared to Abraham in the fields of Mamre. And there are various angels that have appeared to men in the Scripture, and they appeared as men. They can do that. But when he says here, especially right on the heels of let brotherly love continue, and he says, be not forgetful, letting brotherly love continue, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now that word there, entertain strangers, that's one word in the Greek. I won't try to pronounce it for you. But entertain strangers is one word. And it means show hospitality. That's what it means, show hospitality. And that's what he says here. Be not forgetful to show hospitality. Now he says, because entertaining strangers, that is, you show hospitality when you invite people into your house to sit down and have a meal with you. That's showing hospitality. Now, I know that we live in times when you can't, and this is not, he's not describing here a situation where you are to go out and just try to gather up all of the riffraff that there is in the world and bring them to your house. That's not what he's saying here. Although, the Lord Jesus Christ certainly wouldn't turn men away, would he? But you know, he did tell us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We are to be, though, on the other hand, a people whose desire is to show hospitality, to do what we can to minister to others. Now, I'm going to give an example, and I'm not patting them on the back, but one thing that has stood in my mind over the years as a testament to what is being said here is Curtis and Helen. Now, I'm going to embarrass them, but they have always been people, as far as I know, people that were willing to take people into their home and to show kindness to them and to give people a place to stay and things like that were in places of need. Now that's what it is to entertain strangers. And to be glad, to be looking for the opportunity to bless those who are brethren in the Lord. I mean, what a glorious thing it is to be able to minister to those whom the Lord sends our way. And to give back to them such things as the Lord has given to us. So be not forgetful to show hospitality, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, like I said, this is sometimes interpreted as meaning that sometimes maybe a heavenly creature came along and he showed up at your door and he had his wings folded up, you know, under his coat and you didn't know it. And he came in and you showed him some hospitality, and then later on you saw him fly off, you know, and you said, oh, well, it was an angel. No, the word angel often in the scripture, I mean, the word angel literally is a messenger. Now, it may be a heavenly creature who's a messenger, because you remember when the Lord sent word to the shepherds in the fields, he sent an angel. And what did they come for? Did they just come to just to be there? No, they came bringing a message. Now, what I think that this passage of Scripture is literally talking about is saying we need to be mindful to show hospitality, because quite often the hospitality that the Lord enables us to show to others is really a blessing in disguise, because those who are sent our way are bringing to us something much greater than what we have given to them. They have brought us a message. And that is often true. When brethren are, come to us and we turn them away, how do we know what message we might have missed? I'm thinking humanly. We know we're not going to miss anything the Lord's intended for us. But as we exhort one another, dear brethren, how often it is, you see, when we look at the opportunities we have to show hospitality unto others, we shouldn't look at it as a burden, but rather what blessing has the Lord got in store for us as we show hospitality to those who are in places of need. Because that is a blessing. How often it is true. Thereby some have entertained angels unawares. They didn't know it. I think of, this is not exactly the same thing, but it's very similar to it. Those two men on the road to Emmaus, as they were walking along and their heads were hanging low, and they were, just kind of consoling one another, because they had been followers of Christ, and now he'd been crucified, and some had even said now that he had risen from the dead, and they were just confused. They didn't know how to believe. They couldn't believe that, could they? I mean, if you didn't know that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, having seen it, and somebody came and said, or let's say, for instance, if he had walked among us, and somebody came to you and said, you know, Al rose from the grave the other day. I mean, you'd say, what? I mean, how's that going to be? How's that going to happen? I mean, but they were puzzled, because they had confidence in Christ. They knew he had said he was going to rise again. But they didn't really know that it was going to be true. Now, there's recently been a movie made. I'm not going to plug this movie, because it's not totally scripturally accurate. But it's accurate enough that it was, I went to see it. It's a blessing. It's called Risen. And it's about the resurrection of Christ. Now, one thing I think they do capture in this movie is the attitudes that the apostles had after the Lord had risen from the dead. I mean, sometimes in my mind I picture like these guys, you know, they're all sitting around and they just knew, well, buddy, we're going to sit over here and wait and the Lord's going to rise from the dead. No, they didn't believe he was going to rise from the dead. I mean, not literally. I mean, they believed, you know, in a resurrection, kind of in a general sense, like we do. You know, well, we believe we're going to rise from the dead someday. But that's not like the real thing, is it? I mean, not just somebody coming and one day you see them hanging on the cross, and then 3 or 4 days later, they're sitting right there in front of you. And I believe they captured that in that movie, if they didn't get everything right about it, but they got that part right. Because this was an amazing thing. And then the Lord, you know, He disappeared from them for a while, and they're running around saying, well, did we just, I mean, was He really here, or were we just dreaming, or what's going on? I mean, they didn't understand this. I mean, us looking back on it, we can see it. But what they were very puzzled. But as the Lord ministered to them during this time, they came to that place where this became not simply something they were puzzled about, but something that consumed them. And they were, buddy, it didn't make any difference what happened from that point forward, because Christ had risen from the grave. And so these men, as they walked along the Emmaus Road, and they're in that state, they don't know to believe this. I mean, has somebody... You know, it's like when somebody tells you something's too good to be true. Somebody tells you about this new miracle cure they got for such and such. And you're sitting here and you're wondering, well, I wonder, I've heard this stuff before. Is this really the real thing, or is somebody just telling me something? And so here they are walking on this road, and the Lord comes and He starts walking along with them, but they don't know who He is. I don't know if He had a hood on, and it says their eyes were holding that they couldn't see Him. I don't know if that means He looked different, or I don't know what it means. But I know they didn't know who He was. But He went along and He told them. The Scripture says that He opened the Scriptures to them, and He told them that, didn't they know that Christ was going to rise from the dead? And they said, as they went along, they said, well, here, let's turn aside here and go into this place, and let's sit down and eat together. And, of course, as the Lord spoke to them, and these things were going on in their mind, but then all of a sudden, he was gone. But it says the Lord opened their eyes. And they said, man, didn't we see Him? Didn't we know who He was? I mean, didn't our hearts burn within us? You see, He was an angel in that respect. Unawares unto them. He was sent to them with a message that was designed to bless them immensely, and He did that. And so it is, dear brethren, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds is bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You see, what is that but to bear one another's burdens? I mean, consider. Whatever a problem somebody else has, it's our problem if they're brethren in the Lord. It's not just their problem, well, they'll have to deal with it. No, what can we do to help them with it? What can we do for them? You know, a lot of times we say, well, if there's anything we can do, let us know. And we're thinking in the back of our mind, boy, I hope He don't call me. But let brotherly love continue is that we really do mean that. See, that's what it is, let brotherly love continue, is that we want to bear one another's burdens. We want to esteem one another above ourselves. And that's what we're exhorted to do. Remember them that are in bonds, those that have been in prison for the cause of Christ. Those that are in places of trouble for the cause of Christ. Dear brethren, I mean, will we just sit idly by and don't really care, or just be glad that it ain't us? No. He said, remember them. Now, we know that in those days in the prisons that they had, if somebody didn't bring them some food, they didn't have any. It wasn't like these, what they call prisons today, where they just pretty well take care of them, whatever they need, they're going to bring to them. You know, they get 3 meals a day, because if they don't give them 3 meals a day, well, everybody will rise up in protest that we're mistreating them and all that kind of stuff. Well, these prisons here, buddy, they threw you in there and that was it. If somebody didn't come bring you some food, you didn't have any. If somebody didn't bring you a blanket, you didn't have one. Because they didn't care, they put you in jail, see. It wasn't a daycare center for adults. I mean, it was the real thing. And so when we remember them, that means we have concern for their needs and seek what we can do to help them, even as if it was us. May the Lord help us to be a people that have the Spirit of God. Now, we can't get it, can we? But we can pray by the grace of God that He give it to us and that we exhort one another to manifest it. Because it is through the exhortations of God's Word that He impresses the Word of God upon our hearts and causes us to desire these things. I mean, if we didn't know how to love one another, how would we know how to love one another? But the Lord Jesus Christ, He's shown us, has He not? So however He would be, that's how we should be. May the Lord give us grace to be so.